It's time for Advice Line. Call now at 800-866-8883. That's 800-866-8883. Here's your host, Roy Masters.
Yes, I want to talk about compassion. And the reason why I want to make the subject material compassion this evening, because of something called compassionate conservatives, downfall of this country, and compassionate Christians, downfall of the United States. We have lost our country because we're compassionate. Now, see, now it raises eyebrows. What are you talking about? Compassion is a good thing. Well, there's just there, you caught up with words. You do not understand. Compassion would be a good thing if you understood, if you gave, how can I say this? What you have, what the average American who is good and compassionate has and thinks is a good thing, called compassionate, giving another person, you know, benefit of the doubt, so to speak, and continuously so. It may not be what you think it is. It may not be the good thing you think it is. And it is these subtle things, whether to have compassion, whether conditions are right to have compassion, assuming you know what it is, or when not to. So three things. David, as David said to me, what's your subject matter tonight? I said, well, I want to talk about compassion. He said, you have to ask three questions of the audience. So do you know what compassion is? Number one, because I say you have lost America to communism because of it, and they have contempt for your miserable compassion. Excuse me starting out this way. Forgive me, but I want to drive the point home. I don't mean to be mean, but I want to emphasize the word miserable, useless, meaningless compassion, all of which you think is good, but for which reason your adversaries have utter and complete contempt for you, and so does your wife, if you're a compassionate gentleman, and so does your husband, if you're a compassionate wife. And so here I'm talking about what you think of as a good thing, and it ain't so. The number is 800-866-8883. Now, I wonder if I can drum up intelligent conversation, like, what the hell do you mean by that? Or what the heaven do you mean by that? And if I don't get any inquisitive calls, something that sort of brings compassion out of me, excuse me, I mean, love and caring, because I really want you to succeed and become a better human being and rediscover your sovereignty again and become a strong nation, one nation under God. But compassion that you have is not under God. It's actually in hell. The compassion you have is weakness. Now, we need to talk about these things, but I am ready to take any call. I would like to talk about those three things. Is it a good thing? It could be if you knew what it was. But I haven't told you what it is yet. And what conditions do you practice it under? Well, those are the things you need to talk to me about. If I don't get many calls on this subject, so I'll rattle along on my own, because I'm you call me conceited. I almost use the word conceited, but I'm self-contained. I can look at this computer and talk to it. And I feel like I'm talking to somebody. I can talk to the wall. And it's easier than talking to people. At least the wall, you know it. You know it. Doesn't understand you. How can it? It's a wall.
One thing
you have to do.
You have to give out the phone number three times.
Oh, yes. Well, you give out the phone number, David.
1-800-866-8883.
That's once.
1-800-866-8883.
That's twice.
1-800-866-8883.
Oh, you meant throughout the program, not just one after. All right.
You know, it's what I like to do is when I'm talking, I'll pose a question, I'll give out the phone number. Then I'll pose another question, give out the phone number.
Okay. So see if we can get some questions that sort of lead me into a discussion, because the subject of compassion, I really got stuck in my mind when I heard of compassionate conservatives being sort of left of center. And it's right. We'll be right back. It's wrong, but we'll be right back. It's not right to be wrong.
What's on your mind? Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Master.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I opened the program by saying, well, I wanted to talk to you about compassion, as in compassionate conservative, compassionate Christian, or compassionate anyone. And when it comes to compassionate conservative and compassionate Christian, compassionate Jewish person, it doesn't matter. Compassion has lost your country. You've also lost your marriage. You've earned nothing but contempt for it, and deservedly so. The compassion you had for homosexuals and the poor and the downtrodden. I mean, in America, anyone who is a failure is really a failure. But the trouble is, we've got to be careful with compassion that we don't help those failures to become a bigger failure. And to give them power over us. Compassion.
There's no story.
Yeah, you want to tell the story because David has a story he remembers when he was a little boy. All right.
I wasn't actually that little. I was more like a teenager.
You were a teenager?
Yeah, I think I was a teenager because we were living in Southern California at the time. So now I remember one time you met a man and he was
a listener of mine.
Yeah, he was a listener of yours, and he came in, and you met him, and you brought him home, and you were trying to help him.
Yeah.
I remember his name. His name was Stu.
Yep. He's a leather maker, and he made me a belt about 2 or 3 years ago, and he apologized for everything he did. That's 40 years
ago. Okay, but here's the story. You paid it off too quickly.
Go ahead, sorry.
The story is that I remember that you kept going around in circles with him because he was lazy and he didn't appreciate your compassion.
That's right.
And so I know that there are a lot of people who are good-hearted. As a matter of fact, I think, there's no doubt in my mind, actually, that Americans are the most big-hearted people in the world. They give more to charity than any other country.
I know, but that's the fault.
Finish my point, and then you can make your point.
Because okay, fair enough.
I know that there are a lot of people that want to extend a helping hand to other people.
Right.
And they do it for various reasons. Now, the question that becomes interesting is, well, what is the right reason, and when do you draw the line with somebody when you're trying to help them, and they're just taking advantage of it? That's as much as I'll say.
All right. But now, the end of the story was, he started being weird with you guys. So he started thinking he owned the house, just like, you know, the Obama crowd. They think they own the country, and they will soon if we're not careful, because our compassion has brought us to this pass. So anyway, when I saw that my compassion wasn't helping, instead of getting resentful and angry and feeling guilty like a lot of people do, and then thinking that the guilt is that I haven't given enough compassion, so give more, I put him in my car, drove him a couple of miles away, gave him $50 and say, get lost. Sorry. That's it. And so he's on his own again. Well, he lives in Grants Pass now. And it took him 40 years to say sorry. But he did. And he came up to me, and he made me a belt some years ago for a special knife that I have. So, but the point is, we got to be careful of what compassion is. And I'm afraid that we've been, Americans have been called, as you said it, the most compassionate nation on earth. But actually, that compassion is a weakness. And because of that compassion, we have homosexual rights, which they don't deserve any special rights. And they're pretty soon they're lording it over us. And like the cuckoo in this, driving out good people from their jobs. And pretty soon, having compassion for them and giving them wrong people rights. So, compassion, I will have compassion on a homosexual. I will help curing. I will help him to get cured, him or her. But
let me make a point here, just for the sake of this.
So my compassion is to help them. But
I remember back many years ago when I first started working at the foundation, I was probably about 23 or 24 years old, and there were two men that would come in, and they would come together to see you, you know, once a week, maybe twice a month, and they were, you know, they were gay men.
Oh, I remember they had AIDS.
That's right, but. They heard you on the radio, and they sort of fell in love with you.
They did.
And I know that you helped both of them.
But they actually got better.
I know that you helped both of them. And sometimes when you talk, you sound like you're being unduly harsh.
I know that.
But the reality is that throughout my life, I've seen you work with some of the most untenable people I've ever met in my life. And they turn out to be beautiful diamonds and gold of human beings. So I just want to give that caveat.
Well, thank you. Well, the point is, compassion for a poor person, give him a fishing rod and teach him how to fish. And give him some fish because he's not a very good fisherman in the beginning, so you help him. And then once he gets the knack of it, leave him alone and we'll say goodbye, nice knowing you, and help him to help himself. And anything with that will draw you in. If you give him the fish, he'll always want more fish. And you're not a government. There's only so much fish you can give to a person, and then you starve your own family. And there are a lot of people who will starve their own family, give the shirt off their back, and they can't stop. That's not compassion. That's weakness. Americans are weak. They do not have true compassion. Americans as a whole have lost their country and as a whole. But also, individual, you have compassion for your husband. And you feel sorry for him. And he gets drunk. Or he resents you. Or he does something wrong and you don't speak up. Or you forgive him, meaning you're angry and you start doing nice things for him, hoping that he will love you back. And so that you kind of let it go, you forgive him. But I want to say to my audience that only God can forgive. Human beings are incapable of forgiving, neither should they ever forgive. Now, I'm going to modify it a little bit. And nor should they judge, because judging is what leads you to guilt. Judge not, lest you be judged. So when you upset with people and you feel guilty, and then you forgive people so that you can sort of have a relationship with them, they will have contempt for you because you do not know that you are being seduced to empower them to do more wrong when you forgive them. So when they do more wrong, it upsets you. When it upsets you, you feel guilty. When you feel guilty, you think you haven't been compassionate enough. You've got to give them more of a chance. But you don't know where to stop. And so you become bled dry pretty soon. I know a lady. Let me see. She was a film director's stenographer, secretary. And she came to my foundation and she transcribed my talks. And one day, she was very, didn't charge me anything. She did a good job. She was a very nice lady. And one day, a girl came in. She was about 20. And she says, "You know my mother?" And she described this woman. She says, "Is that your mother?" She says, "Yes, you don't know what you don't know about her. Is that she has compassion for all the bums in the street. And she invites them in, and I was molested many times by these people that she brought in, but she had compassion for them. And she had more compassion for them than for me. And I would complain. And I would scream. But she didn't seem to care for me. But she looked for the approval of these bums. She felt elevated. And that elevation distracted her from being a good mother, because she was empowered by being so gracious and loving and caring for everybody, and everybody loved her, but nobody knew what she was like to her own daughter. And so, let me get to the point of compassion, then we'll take our calls. Compassion has no feeling to it. So that if you feel compassionate, for instance, I'll tell you how you know you're compassionate. Let's say you've been compassionate to someone, and that person's your friend, and you've helped them, and they like you for it, and you become friends. But you don't realize that your compassionate is actually giving them power over you, and the power over you comes by virtue of that they reward you and tell you what a wonderful person you are. Wow. Like I say, America is a wonderful country, the most generous people in the world, and we buy it. It's not true. We're weak. Our compassion is weak. So then you'll see your friend doing something wrong, and you know it, but you want to speak up to him or her, but there's a feeling in your solar plexus, and as if to say to you, I don't want to hurt his feelings. You want to speak up, but something says your solar plexus won't let you, because you think you're compassionate, because if I speak to him and tell him what I see, he may not like me, but I don't want to hurt him. I don't want to upset him. What you're really talking about is the fact that that person has a link to your gut, and that your sense of worth comes from being compassionate, with that person rewarding you with a tidbit, a cookie of appreciation, a brownie button of appreciation. And this is the relationship we have with the poor people and the homosexuals and same-sex marriage and all kinds of things that are wrong with this country. And we've given them power, and we call them the left, but they have contempt for our fake love. Our love is contemptuous to them. The more you feed yourself to them, the more they laugh, they're empowered, they get bloated with the power you give them. Contemptuous power. There are some people who appreciate it, of course. I don't take advantage of people who are compassionate towards me. I appreciate it. And I show my appreciation. I've shown my appreciation in the past by becoming my own person and thanking them for their help and going on with their life. My compassion with you is the same way, my dear friends. I want you to listen to what I have to say, and you don't have to buy it. I won't judge you for not listening to me. And I won't run after you thinking that I have to love you more. Because, you seem to be getting better and then you get worse. And you call me up one day and if I learn not to feel important when I help a person, then I won't puff up or frustrated if I don't. See? Then I will be a whole person and always have the right compassion. I'll always know when to give and when to stop giving. When to take a chance with a person and when not to. When to pull back and not feel bad about it. Not to feel that pain in my solar plexus. I'm a whole person. I can really give. I don't judge. If I don't judge, I don't have to forgive. Simple. If I don't judge, I don't have to forgive. If I forgive, having judged, and I make you worse, I get mad. When I get mad, I'm judging again. Those two prerogatives are playing the role of God. That's pride. And so when you are playing the role of pride with people, you're elevating yourself. Each time you elevate yourself when you're loving them. And you may get a reward, or you may be rewarded with contempt, in which case you get upset and then feel even more guilty and think to yourself, maybe I haven't loved enough. And your whole life is giving, giving, giving till you give your country away. You've given your country to the left, and they have nothing but contempt for you now, and now you're almost finished. And you do this in your private life, and your preacher encourages you, and your friends encourage you, and your friends aren't friends, because they're playing you like a fiddle. You don't have many friends. You don't know what a friend is. Mostly you're attracted to fiends who understand that you do not understand what true compassion is. You want to be a good person. That's respectable. But you must take my correction here. You must see that your compassion, look, the world is full of wonderful people. People with compassion are great people, but they have this flaw that gives them a smug idea that they're good Christians and good people, and this is the way goodness is. No, it's not. Having said that, who should we take first for our calls? Line two, let's see. David in Fremont. Okay, line two. Hello, David. Oh, go ahead, go ahead. I'm reading what you said to the producers, but you state it yourself, would you please?
Okay, Roy. During my meditations, my molestation that I experienced when I was 8 years old.
Who by?
By a neighbor who was a teenager at the time.
How old was he?
I'm not sure. I'd say he's between 15 and 17.
How come your parents weren't watching you with that neighbor? I asked this for a reason. I ask it for a reason. Because you didn't tell your parents, I imagine.
Not right away, Roy.
But how long did it take?
Roy, I don't really know. Maybe months. I'm not sure exactly.
Why didn't you tell your parents? And then the next question, of course, is why did you not punch and scream and bash him one?
Well, okay. First question is, I was afraid my dad would get mad at my mom.
Why would he get mad at your mom? Because she wasn't watching?
Yes.
Yeah, and so, but your father's not a bad guy.
No.
Why are you protecting your mother who was neglecting you?
Because I was afraid that he would get mad at her and then leave us again.
Oh, I see. Well, that is awkward. That is understandable. For a young fellow like yourself, so but you were vulnerable, you know. You were looking for love, and so the attention of that young boy, perverted as it was, looked like love from a father, from a male figure, right?
Yes.
And then you sort of found that you had to do certain things and be quiet about it. Do you have the guilt of having enjoyed it?
Yes, and I've discovered that. I was being like my mom or like a girl, judging him.
Yes.
You know, for doing that, and then just recently, I now discovered, or it was shown to me, that what he did to me, I feel worse because I didn't trust my father in my heart and say no. No, and then run home, you know, and say, "Mom, Dad, this is what's going on."
Yes.
And I feel worse for him. I feel as though
you've judged him, and you feel guilty for that.
Yes, and that I should have stopped him because I hurt him. I feel more than anything that he could ever have done to me because I didn't stop him, and I didn't trust the Father in my heart. The Father in heaven. He was trying to tell me, no, don't let him pick you up and carry you. See, I have cerebral palsy, and I thought he was being nice, but my conscience said no.
You were born with that, weren't you?
Yes, Mr. Masters.
Yes. How are you now? You sound sensible, and you sound like you're growing up. You're becoming a man. I see you becoming a man. Now, would you like some advice from me?
You bet, my friend.
You're on the cusp of just getting better. In a little while, you'll wake up one morning and all your problems will disappear and you go on with your life. This has been holding you back. You've had enough, you've got enough handicap being born that way, but the point is, what you've done without realizing it is judge your father, but you couldn't help it. And I'll tell you why you couldn't help it. I'm going to take this off you. Because when a child is born, they share the sentiments of mother towards the father. In other words, the emotion she feels towards your father talks to your head. And so what she thinks about your father, her judgments become yours. So I want you to know that your judgments on your father were your mother's and not yours. Therefore, you are forgiven. But you always have been, because you didn't know any better. You couldn't help it. You'll be all right now. You'll be all right now. Just once you realize that, see how beautiful the realization of that is? How magical it is?
Yes.
It relieved you just now, didn't it? A big burden came off your shoulders, didn't it?
Yeah. A joy this morning after I meditated. I wanted to call you at 7:30 and talk with you, but I'm very glad. Thank you for speaking with me this evening, my friend.
Are you have sufficient of me? Or you want to go now and call me another evening?
Well, I have one more. Well, geez, I can't make up my mind now.
Well, I'll tell you what. You sit with that for a moment, for maybe an hour or two. Call me back the second hour or tomorrow.
Okay.
Unless you want to talk to me now about it. But I think this revelation is very important to you.
Yes, it is.
See, and I haven't done this to you, but I've just reminded you the truth that you've always known in your heart. I mean, the reason why you felt that relief is because I'm just speaking the truth that couldn't get through because you were so emotional and so tied up with guilt and frustrations, don't you see?
Yes, I was a bright, well-spoken little guy.
But you are still bright, and so now you start growing. Call me back.
Okay, Roy, thank
you. I'll talk to you tomorrow night. Promise, call?
Okay, yes.
Okay.
Yes,
Roy. All right, thank you. All right, now, so what can I do for you? Let me see who's going to be next. Florida. John in Florida, I have a crippling anxiety. Why? Is that right?
Yes, Roy, correct. Okay.
Anxiety is it's either you have a physical problem for which you will have anxiety, and naturally, you know, some stress, some physical problem that's trying to tell you something, and you're afraid to tell somebody. Maybe you have cancer or something, and you're afraid to talk about it. That will, whatever it is, some secret. But generally speaking, the main secret is that you are judgmental, and you're like the young man. As you most men, when they become depressed, have inherited from their mothers the sentiments toward their fathers. Like I said to the young man just now, if you look very carefully, you are judgmental, and you don't know how to let something go. And is that how accurate is that?
A friend that I haven't spoke to in over a year yesterday sat down and talked to me and pretty much paraphrased exactly, almost quoted you right there.
You did?
Said I'm selfish and that the world's about me.
That's it. Yes, and that's like, but that's like that's like your mother.
Yeah, and the thing about with the mom thing, you know, doing the meditation, and I always thought my anger was my fault from my father, but I realized how much my mother played me against my
set you up to hate your father. See,
yeah.
There it is. She, in other words, her hate towards him became yours, and then you have to separate and realize that that resentment towards your father was implanted. It wasn't yours original. That's what the young man broke down for a moment and realized, oh my God, that's true. It wasn't me. I didn't want to hate my father. See, so hold the line. Don't go away. Be right back. We're going to be right back here a second. Show numbers. Let me see. Let's see. 56, 86. I got to get some new glasses. 10 seconds. Listen to my commercial. There's a commercial I want you to listen to. But first of all, I got 1 minute for myself, and then I'll tell you what I want you to do. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, I'm having a seminar in Oregon. We've I'm hearing you guys talking on the, between each other. Please, I'm trying to do a commercial. Thank you. We're rebuilding our ranch in Oregon, bringing it up to hotel standards, and I'm doing a healing seminar. And I've learned some secrets that I can't talk about on radio. It doesn't come up, so it doesn't get around to it. But if I can have you for present there in Oregon, 4th of July, I can help you overcome, to find the connection to yourself you've been looking for and reverse that aging, excessive aging, illness, stress, and stress-related diseases. I'll show you how to have a balanced emotional state and proper diet and exercise that can change everything. So please call my office for information about this. Thank you very much. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to stop struggling with your problems?
Every night I take a drive out into the wilderness area around here and sometimes wept because I couldn't figure out what was still wrong. What he did for me is he bore witness to everything that was already running through my mind, and through doing that helped me delve into my past and see where things went wrong. And as the resentment has fallen away, as he says, without trying, my bad habits are disappearing.
Are you ready to stop being so emotional and angry and upset all the time?
The drinking's gone. The drugging is gone. I quit smoking 5 months ago, and I don't even care about it anymore. It's amazing. I've lost 15 pounds in the last 2 months, and I'm running again. And it's all without saying I have to do it. It just happens.
These are the words of people whose lives have changed radically because they've discovered how to gain control over their negative emotions.
I know that a lot of people are listening because I was, and I was really hurting. And I just turned on the radio, and it really helped me just, like, have peace at night. But I feel like I had to call him. You know, it's very important that he stays on the radio and still gives his advice, even though people may feel that it's harsh or whatever they may feel, but it's honest and it's real, and people need to hear the truth and not have it sugarcoated.
He's very much appreciated, and he has helped me. It's been taking years for him to personally get through all the layers of things with me, but coming along, we're always reaching out for an answer, and we're not reaching in. I found that in being still, it's so effortless that we're so used to our own will, we don't see it. It's all the different ways that he attacked that. I can't imagine the prison system and the military going without his services.
These people have discovered that stress itself really isn't the problem. It's the way we react to it. Learn how to deal with stress properly, and all of your other problems will begin to fade away.
Roy, thank you for all the truth you said. And since I listen to you regularly, I went from 300 pounds to 140. Before that, I quit being promiscuous. I gave up pot. I gave up going to bars. Married. Oh, we are still married, almost 30 years. Listening to you, I got so much better as the years passed. Our daughters never did pot, never got drunk, never were promiscuous. Both are married, one to a soldier, one to a Marine. We're that blessed thanks to you waking just one of the parents up.
Visit FHU.com and download Be Still and Know, a simple concentration exercise that will change your life. Visit FHU.com or call 1-800-877-3227. That's 1-800-877-3227. Learn a simple technique that will change your life. Visit FHU.com and download Be Still and Know.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-866. 8883.
Before I go back to John, I mean, I just want to ask my audience if they find that last 3 minutes offensive, because I repeat it often, and I tell you why I like it. It's not because it's complimentary to me. It is. And I could always do a little bit, do with some of that. But they, in every one of those compliments, there's relief. There is a description of what happens, how effortless it is, the magic of it. There's something about those people calling in that it's indelibly impressed with what I'm saying, how effortless and how your drugs fall away and the smoking falls away and your life changes. Each one has the last one about not being promiscuous anymore and becoming a grandmother and having daughters and marrying a Marines and all that beautiful stuff. See, so if you find that offensive because I repeat it, please call me and let me know it is offensive and we'll just play it less. All right, now, John, back to you, John. Where were you now? We've got to where you've picked up the resentment of your mother to your father, and then and so therefore you look through life, you look through your eyes with the eyes of a woman. A lot of men are we having technical difficulty with him? Is he still there?
It's good now.
Okay, thank you. So you've been looking through. Women are judgmental, and there's a tendency for women to pass the you know, I'm having a little trouble. Is it still okay? Well, put him on hold and have another. Yeah, ask him to get the phone number and give him and call him back, and then meanwhile he can listen to what I have to say on the radio. All right, okay, now let me finish the thought then by myself. The problem with the human race is failing men, and again, it comes back to a weakness that we think of as love. Now, you know, the addict with the pusher, his weakness, it leads him to think the pusher is of service to him, and therefore he loves his pusher. But it's not love; it's a servitude. And so, the relationship between men and women always, without fail, begins with a weakness for women. And what is this weakness? We're men born of women. But if you look back at men born of women, we don't come back. I mean, men born of women have this weakness, and this weakness breeds contempt. I mean, if men love out of weakness, it means they're loving out of need, want something from the woman. Is it just sex that you want? Or is there something commingled with sex that somehow comes with it? What if sex was a failing that you have to work out, so to speak, and discover that something that you're unnaturally natural? Okay, so, well, let me just hold you on there because I'm in the middle of a thought here, and I'll be right with it. And so what if weakness passes for love, and men have a weakness, a psychological weakness, which attaches itself to the outcrop of that psychological weakness, which is that you're dying. Weakness is ego separated from God, is the first death. And from that first death sprung the sensual awakening. In other words, the spiritual death leads to the animal state, that's the second death, and the need to replace your dying body, which is the strongest of all animal urges, but it's coupled with a craving for reassurance that the pride of life that dwells in a man, crying out for a woman, is wholesome. That you're really somebody, because your wife loves you and accepts you. Except when you get into her, what's in her gets into you. Now you're addicted, psychologically and sexually addicted to the woman, and you can't stop. Now, in that moment where you have misplaced your love and not been properly informed as to what it was, and if you were properly informed, you wouldn't believe it anyway. So all of you have to have trial and error. You all fall in love, but in your falling in love, humanly speaking, it's not like an ape. It's reproducing in new bodies before leaving their old body behind to rot. You have to do that. But in the process of reproducing and bringing forth new life, you're descending further and further away from reality. In other words, you're drawing up from the woman what is not good for a woman to give. in the beginning, she feels honored by your attention. She's the center of the universe. That's her ego trip. But when she sees she's being used and she's being degraded, and she feels degraded when men get hungry and hungry and hungry and never satisfied, and they want to shrink away, then they're guilty. Then women hate their husbands, but they want to keep the family together. So in their little minds, they feel guilty, and they surrender again out of guilt, hoping that this time he will be satisfied. No, that the appetite is insatiable. And so men descend to hell through the female and call up from a woman, which is not good for a woman to give. She cannot stop. Damned if she gives it, damned if she isn't, because where are the men that love her for herself? To understand the dilemma she's in, she's unloved. She is a descendant of the first unloved woman. Adam didn't say put the fruit down, he ate it himself. What was the first symptom? He saw he was naked. They both felt ashamed, especially the man, and put fig leaves on. Every young man that comes into the world feels awkward about sexuality. He doesn't understand why. Why should he if he's an ape? Why can't he jump on the first female he sees anytime he wants to? Something's not right about that. So our inheritance is not from a Neanderthal man that came from little creatures that's smaller than the Neanderthal man, Piltdown man, some little creature 2 feet tall. And we didn't evolve from apes. Women made a monkey out of men and made the monkey think it's a man. And that's what you've got a problem. Women are needed to help you think you're something. And each time she makes you feel like something, you become more of an animal, more of a nothing. And you're in conflict. But you cry out. But in this conflict, you're dying. And as you're dying, your sexual impulses increase. The more close to death you become in this dying process, spiritually dying, the stronger the desire to reproduce. In the other direction, the desire is manageable. And love comes through it. But this hunger that you have causes women to hate men for their failing love. It's almost nearly always sex, selfish. And so it's also served, some women have learned to judge men and play them like a fiddle. And some women are victims of brutality and that sort of thing. And they go to other men looking for the father they never had, the kind of man that will love her and understand. But they're not around. She gives herself too easy to the next guy. And the same thing happens. This time it's her fault. She invites it. She tries to make a man in her image by giving herself, thinking if she gives him her love, therefore she will create a man that loves her back. No, it's another one. It's either a wimp. The last one was a beast. This one, next one's a wimp. And she is King Kong with Bloomers. She becomes the man. Has contempt for the man. And children are born to a contemptuous woman, or a woman who looks like the victim, but is part of the problem of why the man is the way he is, but she can't help that. Neither one understand what I just said, but now you do. And so it's because children are born to contemptuous women and failing men, even though on the surface she may pretend to love him, she really hates him. And children pick up the chemistry of this, emotional chemistry. And it talks to them about hating father. And the actions of the father, he runs away to another woman, or she beats him, he beats her. Therefore, that contributes to the idea that father is beast and mother is the victim. Mother's not the victim, she's part of the problem. She is, in a sense, the victim, but she, from her springs all the misery on this earth. And governments know that. Get the women, separate them from the families, encourage them to be licentious, give them a feeling of entitlement, and you can say goodbye to the country and to the men who are outcasts and cast aside. And that's it. And so we inherit this. So now I'm going to get to John. John, did you hear me speak about the story of every man's life, every father and every mother? There's no nobody's exempt from this. So it's very, very, that's why I know, and I'm not a mind reader, but that's the reason why I know that when you say you have depression, you have judgment. You've got your mother's mind. See, and so your mother's contempt for your father, and therefore self-loathing. And a problem with women. See that?
Yeah. I've given them up, though.
Yeah, but you don't want to give them up. What you need to do is practice being a gentleman with them.
Well, so, I am, but I was using them as if I a drug or something else to take me away from feeling the anxiety that I was feeling.
I know, but but that's the reason why you have more anxiety. Didn't I explain that?
Yeah, then you get more anxiety.
There you are, you see. So I gave you the history of the human race. Everybody's the same. There's nothing clever about what I said. It's only the fact that I'm saying it and nobody wants to really hear it. Nobody wants to believe this. And let alone the media, let alone governments. They all want to make you, all want men to fixate around the women and they learn to have, they learn to control. How can I say this? Let me put it this way. There's on one side of the boxing ring, there's this 180-pound Adonis, the man. There's, you know, Adam. On the other side, 120 pounds, beautiful woman. And on one side, there's God with man, and the other side, there's the devil. Now, when she first spoke, I can tell you this. There was something in her that spoke to her, and when she opened her mouth, it wasn't what it wasn't her speaking. It was something speaking through her, and she couldn't help it. And women can't help today being seductive and having a longing for a man, but not for love so much, partly for love, but mostly it's the part of her that needs to be corrected. I hear the music and I got to go. But John, hold the line, because I need to talk to you personally about the problem a little bit more. And then I'll take my other calls. I'm Roy Masters, 800-866-8883. 800-866-8883. The lines are open, if some lines are open at least. We'll be right back. I've discovered a book that I forgot I had. It's called Beyond the Gnome. It's really got a horrible cover. I mean, I haven't sold many of them. And it used to be called, No One Needs to Die. I didn't mean physically, but we don't have to suffer the way we do. We're killing each other. The world is nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, husband against wife, wife against husband, bullies in school, God knows what. And so there's always tyranny and suffering. There's no need to be. And so it was written in the 60s, published in 72, and then I couldn't sell it, so I changed the title from, you know, No One Needs to Die, Beyond the Known. And it's laid dormant. But I picked it up, and I'm going to read it to you, start to read it to you one evening, just a few pages at the time, because it's all about what's happening now. It's all prediction of everything. How many pages is it? It's about 250 pages. Everything happened. Why it was going to happen. What part you play in it. I would recommend this book. The cover is silly. It's just a man. It's the outline of a man. In it. You can see the universe through him. That's about all it is. And then he's got glasses and he has no identity. And so I guess whoever made the cover, it's too long ago. You know, that's his style. But the point is, get a copy of this book, Beyond the Known. If you've got all my other books, or if you get any book at all, get this one. Because it explains today. I could have written it today. It talks about exactly what's happening and how it happened. And what your part is, as I was saying, what part you had, all of you, compassion. Compassion is weakness. Of course, you can be not compassionate and be go the other extreme. There's a right kind of compassion. I will show you where that comes from. But the kind of compassion you have is egotistical. You feel good about helping people. And you enjoy the little brownie button of approval. And you get off on it. And then you get betrayed. And you're rewarded with contempt and with the loss of your country, your home, your happiness, your health. Get a copy of it. Beyond the Known, I'm Roy Masters. 800-877-3227. Call my office tomorrow. Business hours, West Coast time.
Listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Shubha John was interrupted by a bad line, and so it sent me off into a tangent, talking about men and women in general and what's wrong with the human race. And I'm not blaming women for their weakness, the weakness for the weakness of men. Women have a weakness. And men have a weakness for a man's weakness. And so when they service the weakness of a man, he becomes weaker. And she gets hungrier. That's like government. Exactly like government. That's how the government of every government fails. Every country, every nation fails on this principle. Government's hungry like a woman, like a mistress. And the more you serve, the more she services the man, the more life force he gives to her, and the more hungry she becomes, because it's not a good life force. She becomes mannish, and he becomes feminine. Exchange of identities. We need to talk about this. But now, my friend here, I didn't have enough time to continue with him, and I'm using up his time now. John, are you there? Do you see that judgment, it's got to go now? So you have to forgive your father for not understanding this any more than you have understood it up to now. So, in other words, with this understanding, you're going to have to learn to let your anger towards your mom, first of all, let your father, anger towards your father go, and then you can turn towards your mother and let your anger towards her go. But I assure you, your anger towards your father comes born into you with your mother's anger in her for your father. In other words, her sentiment the day you were born for your father, and after, of course, you were born, is indelibly impressed in your head, so that it keeps you from God and makes you a woman-centered man forever. And you die to that. And all the Viagra in the world won't help you.
Why is it getting worse as where 2 or 3 years ago it was sporadic and now it's... Is it me just becoming aware of it? Festering, so to speak?
Well, you've answered your own question, because I think it wouldn't have risen if you had not really understood what you just said. I'm treating a young man right now, and he says, you know, I think I'm getting worse. I said, no, you're not getting worse. You're becoming aware of what worse is. You weren't aware of it before. And so now you'll be aware of what is worse. Don't lose heart. Just be aware of it. Just be aware of...
May I interject something now?
Yes, please.
You say, you have a phrase like the sun shining on dung.
Yes.
Used as good fertilizer.
Yes.
Okay. Before I lose this, Roy, is now bear witness to this indwelling pressure, this anxiety.
Yes.
And if I handle it properly.
Yes.
This is the light from God shining on the crap that is me.
Yes.
And eventually the stench, hell that I'm living, long as I handle each moment properly, I'll become good fertilizer.
Yes. Well, so no, it becomes, you don't become the fertilizer. What you don't realize is it's not going to be you that you'd be looking at. It'd be something that got in you that thinks it's you, and
that's
you think
I
mean, it's, so you'll be looking at it, and it won't trick you to be angry. It won't trick you to struggle with it. You just watch it. It cannot stand being watched. That's all. It wants that you to tempt you to struggle.
So obviously, so this, I'm at a point here in my life that, because sometimes I think it's a curse, but actually it could be the blessing that I've been searching for all my life.
It is.
Correct?
It's correct. Just hold your ground like this, young man. Just see that something is not you, and the very act of looking at those thoughts and feelings, that depression that wants you to surrender to it, and to go into its warm, velvety, feminine blackness. Okay? Don't go with it. Just stand there and watch it and feel the cringe and feel the embarrassment, but don't resent knowing it. Just watch, and before you know it, it goes away. Before you know it, you may be feeling it for several minutes, but all of a sudden, next morning comes, and somehow the day passed very quickly, and you found that you're no longer obsessed with that. But here it comes again in another way. There are many layers of it, so handle each layer as you see it, and make sure that you deal with the grace that you have. Look at people that way. Look at people as objects, and don't be too close to them. Don't get upset with them or look for their approval. Watch yourself looking for their approval, and watch yourself tending to want to resent him, because that's what's inside you now, because you never were able to forgive people, beginning with your mother and your father. Now you have a new light. Let it shine on everything, on the inside of your head, and to people who offend you, be not moved. Just watch the meanness and the hypocrisy, and you'll be all right. Don't let it touch you. Don't like them too much or hate them too much. Don't like them at all. You don't have to like them or don't hate them at all. Be neutral to everything. Be right back.
If you're a regular listener to Roy Masters radio program, I want to tell you a story about an old man who came to a raging river, and he stopped and began to build a bridge across. He spent many years building that bridge, toiling every single day. And then one day, a young man came, and he said, "Old man, what are you doing?"
"I'm building a bridge."
And the young man said, "Why? You could have gotten across the river. Why did you stay to build it?" He said,
"Because I knew one day someone would come that couldn't cross this raging river. So I built it for you."
Roy Masters has been building a bridge for people for almost 50 years. He's helped to change this country in ways you will never understand or know. So if you appreciate the bridge that he's built, please help him keep building the bridge for future generations. Your donations to the Foundation of Human Understanding are tax deductible. Visit FHU.com or call 1-800-877-3227 during regular business hours Monday through Friday. If you've been helped by the work Roy Masters is doing on the radio, please consider paying forward the gift you have received so others may benefit as well. The Pay It Forward program allows you to automatically donate the amount you want on a monthly basis. Even just $5 a month from people who care will make a difference. Or you can make a one-time donation and help support our radio program and website, as well as our prison ministry and Patriot Outreach program. If you'd like to contact us by mail, write to the Foundation of Human Understanding, P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. Or call Monday through Friday, regular business hours, West Coast time, 1-800-877-3227. Again, that's the Foundation of Human Understanding, P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. For more information on the Foundation of Human Understanding, visit the website fhu.com. That's fhu.com.